Solomon, son of David, David and Bathsheba, by the way, the second son of David and Bathsheba, king over all of Israel, known by many as the wisest man to ever lived, the richest man to have ever lived, writes this in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and he gives us this wisdom. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And fools in this case are those who do not fear the Lord. That phrase, fearing the Lord, is an old phrase. It's sometimes we don't understand quite what that means. You ask somebody, explain to me what fearing the Lord means, and it's kind of hard to pinpoint. It's like trying to give a definition for forgiveness or grace. It's hard sometimes to get that definition out. But I think Solomon's life is going to illustrate for us really well what it means to fear the Lord and what it means not to fear the Lord. First off, though, we should know that fearing the Lord isn't being necessarily afraid of God, though if we are apart from Jesus Christ, then we have every right to be afraid of God. Fearing the Lord means more like standing in awe or reverence of God. It means respecting God. It means trusting Him. It means being obedient to Him as well. If you fear the Lord, you are obedient to His commands. Fear of the Lord is faith in God, but it's bigger than that as well. I think the best way to put it is to fear the Lord is to recognize that the Lord is Lord. He is master. He is sovereign. He is control. He is God. He is creator. It's to recognize that and to know that I am not that. To fear the Lord is to recognize the Lord is Lord and that I am not. When we fear the Lord, the Psalms teach us that those who fear the Lord cling to God because they know that they need the Lord, that there's so much we fail at, that we cannot do, that we need the Lord. Solomon's life, as I said, illustrates this pretty well, what it means to fear the Lord. And it starts off in verse 3 pretty well, talking about how what Solomon does. And the Bible doesn't tell us this very often about people. It doesn't give us this statement, but it tells us flat out that Solomon loved the Lord. And right off, we find him doing sacrifices. He takes thousands of animals to this place called Gibeon, and he sacrifices there. And the sacrifices are meant to be sacrifices so that God would forgive not only his sin, but the sins of his entire nation. Imagine this, a president, whether it's Trump or any president we've had in the past or one in the future, that will actually admit that they are a sinner and would actually go somewhere and do something like this, giving sacrifice for their sins in a very public way. Politicians don't do this. Solomon does. He loves the Lord because he fears the Lord. He knows that the Lord is Lord and he is not. He recognizes then his own inability, his own weaknesses. He recognizes how much he needs God. And this is displayed to us when God asks him this question or gives this thing to him. He says, "Ask me for anything and I'll give it to you." Solomon could have asked for chicken nuggets. He could have asked for pizza or cake. He could have asked for all sorts of money. He could have asked that his enemies would have been smitten before him. He could have asked for so much. But this man who fears the Lord, who loves the Lord, who knows that he is a sinner, knows that even as king, he needs the Lord. And so he asks God, grant me wisdom. I'm young in this. I don't know what I'm doing. This is a huge job. These are your chosen people that you have put me as king over. I don't know how to lead them. Give me wisdom. Teach me right from wrong so that I can lead this great nation of yours. Solomon clings to the Lord in faith because he needs the Lord. Because he is not Lord. This is the good part of Solomon's life. This is what it means to fear God, to cling to the Lord, to grasp onto him, to know that you need him far more than anything else. Unfortunately, something will change in Solomon's life. Just a few chapters down the road, and in 1 Kings chapter 11, we see how things go terribly south for Solomon. He forgets the Lord. He forgets him. He knows that God is there. He can see probably the temple from his palace. He knows that God has chosen these people that he leads over. But yet there's something in Solomon where he just forgets. And when he forgets the Lord, and when we forget the Lord, we tend to lose our fear of the Lord. And when we lose our fear of the Lord, we become wayward and we no longer cling to him in faith. We become independent of God, or at least think we are independent of God. It's like my son Elijah. You all saw him today. He's very cute, but let me tell you, he's not always the deer that you guys think he is. When we're at home, it's constant vigilance. If there's even a moment of silence, he's probably standing on the oven while he's turning it on. I kid you not, he tried to do that once. He was sitting on the oven playing with the very dials that would start him on fire. He climbs on things. He pulls things down. It's a scary thing to live with a toddler. He is independent, and so he actually becomes a danger to himself. When we don't cling to the Lord in faith, we become a danger to ourselves. We can be drawn away from faith in God. For Solomon, he was drawn away by the power that was given to him. He was certainly drawn away by the pleasures that were before him. When I had confirmation this week with my current confirmation group, we were reading chapter 11, and it was all guys, so it was especially funny. They were all just astounded and grossed out by the fact that Solomon eventually will have 700 wives and 300 concubines, and each one of them worshiping their own gods. And what does he do? He is led astray by the 1,000 wives that he has, and he begins to worship other gods as well. He makes each one of them a shrine to their own god. He has forgotten the Lord. He worships other gods. He no longer fears the Lord. And this man who once received the pleasure of God now receives God's anger. Confirmants. I hope this isn't the last time I ever get to speak to you, by the way. There is a lot in this world that will try to entice you and take you away from faith in Jesus Christ. Just because you are baptized, just because you are confirmed, doesn't mean that you can't forget the Lord. This doesn't guarantee faith in Jesus throughout your life. You can at any time reject faith in the Lord. It doesn't mean that you'll be walking down the street one day and say, God, I no longer believe in you. I reject you. What it might mean is that things within your lives, and it might even be good things, friends, boyfriends, a girlfriend, a family, other things in your life might start to draw you away from Jesus. And that road, once you're on it, becomes very slippery. There are things in this life that will entice you away from faith in Christ. It could also be, of course, the bad things in our life. Sin, our anger, our frustration, our bitterness, the sin of others. All these things Satan will use to attack you and pull you away from faith so that you no longer fear the Lord. Do not take yourself away from the Lord. Do not leave the thing and the people who care so much about your faith. Do not pull yourself away from the Lord. Know that this church, and I speak confidently of the other churches in town, that these are places where you will hear of the grace of Jesus Christ, and it is a thing that we need to hear over and over again. You need to be in your Bibles over and over again to be reminded constantly of the Lord's love for you. To be reminded constantly of what it means to cling to the Lord in faith, because we need Him. God was pleased to give Solomon what he needed because he clung to the Lord in faith. God does the same for each of you. He desires to give you exactly what you need to lean on Him, to rest in Him, to know that He is yours and you are His. He wants to give you what you need to be sustained in this life. He wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to give you faith. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you your daily needs as you trust in Him, not only for spiritual matters, but for the things in this life. He wants to give you wisdom as well. So fear the Lord. Cling to Him. Affirm the promises that He has given you in baptism on a daily basis. Love the Lord, because He loves you. Let us pray. O gracious and merciful Father, bless us daily with Your faith, with faith in You, that we might know You better and better each day. Protect us from the assaults of the world and Satan around us, from our own sinful nature, that we might always cling to You. Show us how much we need You, and draw us ever and ever into Your presence. We pray this in Your name. Amen.